Hey, you guys. It is so good to say what's up and let you guys know what I've been up to. I just had my birthday. And it was great. It was really great. Usually, I feel very moody around my birthday. Like, happy, but also very introspective. So, I really try to make sure I'm happy with everything so that I can have a good birthday. Like, I get anxiety about the things I haven't finished, my goals. But this year I felt great. This year I felt really good. I made a great effort to reach out to my family and let them know I love them. And I took some time for myself. I rented a studio in Hollywood so that I could work on my projects, and that's what I'm always doing, but in a space that was just like very quiet, unlike where I am, my house. And it was great. It was really great. The studio, I'm not gonna lie, the Airbnb was super cheap. It was like $60 for the day, the night. $60. I was like, okay. And I saw the reviews and they're like, bring your own towels. But I was like, $60. It ended up being more like $90 because there was like different fees, like a cleaning fee and such and such. But it was totally worth it. It wasn't the best Airbnb, but it served its purpose. It was cute. Wooden floors. I made a couple of videos while I was there. I slept on top of the cover so that I minimum, you know, just trying to keep it very casual and light. It was like basically, here, take the keys. I'm going to leave for the weekend and you can use my space. That's how it was. It wasn't as professional as other Airbnbs, but I would definitely go again. What I did is on Friday night, my birthday was on Saturday, August 18th, and that is also the anniversary of the Dope Science Show podcast, you guys. I need to do better about celebrating these milestones. Once I have, you know, more support and a team, I'm sure we'll get, like, much better at this. But Friday I took my daughter to Little Tokyo and we did like a mommy daughter night and walked around the area, ate mochi and just like different Japanese junk food, and it was really cute, really nice. And we just took a little train adventure, hopped on a train from where I lived, and it was sweet. It was nice. It was nice for us to get time alone and bond. And then the next day, I went to my studio in Hollywood, and I went to a day party with Yawande. Do you guys remember Yawande? Her episode was Afro Beats and Mini Brains, and she's super cool. Like, super intelligent and creative and, like, literally cool. Like, stylish and beautiful. So we decided to go to a day party because we always said, oh yeah, we're gonna dance together, and I'm big into dancing. And we went to this party on the rooftop of the Ace Hotel in downtown LA. The Ace Hotel is so cool. Very stylish, very old. I love old places. That's like my favorite thing. I love old places. I love architecture. And I find that a lot of the old buildings and places, their architecture is just so much more interesting to look at and very detailed than what a lot of minimalist modern architecture is like. Is Art Deco. I highly recommend you guys go and just take pictures and look around and, you know, just look at the old things, stay there. I'm gonna go back. That was my first time. So the party was cool. I got to meet all her friends. And it's funny because she's British and all her friends are like British. It's like this whole British club that found each other. And I love accents, so I was really enjoying that. And the party was cool. It was like, I'm not gonna lie, it was like Hipsterville, super hipster. There were all these hipster people, and I was there too, so was I a hipster? Because I was enjoying the music and the vibe. And like most people who someone may call a hipster or not, I don't take offense, because whatever. we were all like, I'm not a hipster, but I just kind of like a lot of hipster things, you know? I am like, I kind of like that music. I kind of like that fancy food. I kind of, you know. So it was fun. It was fun. And I danced for like 2 hours with no problem because when I'm dancing, I never get tired. And then we went to a house party in Silver Lake. Sorry, guys. I work right by an airport, so you probably hear that. I'm on my lunch break. So we went to this party. Oh, wait, I forgot. So at the day party, okay, so me and Yowande, we're in line. Yowande is so sweet. She buys me a birthday drink, and then she gets herself a drink. And I ordered, what she purchased for me was a Moscow Mule, because that's like my favorite drink. So yummy, so yummy. And she got a virgin pina colada. And then she ordered like these mini tacos. And while we're waiting for her to sign her card, get it given back to her from the server, this guy behind us is like, ladies, this is not really a place for chatting. And I was like, what? The music was loud. I was like, I don't understand what's going on. So we turn around and he's like, again, right eye contact. I said, this is not a place for chatting. And I just looked at him and I just laughed right in his face because I was just thinking, what? We're obviously waiting for our card. You are the idiot who's interrupting us. This is a party. How is it not a place for chatting? No, it's wasting time. What is wrong with you? And I do understand, like, he'd been waiting, but it wasn't our fault. It was the level of service that was available. And usually when people are stupid, instead of calling them stupid, I'm one step from making you feel like an idiot. And that begins with me laughing in your face. And it was funny because Yowande was like, oh, so surprised that I laughed. She was like, thank you for laughing, because I was just about to tell him about himself and it wasn't going to be funny. And you like brought the energy, like dispersed the tension. And that wasn't my intention. It's just how my natural reaction was. But I thought that was really funny. I was like, this guy is tripping. He was on some sort of drugs. Which is not uncommon at a party, but it must have enhanced his level of, like, privilege and elitism and, like, his rudeness. And he had a horrible haircut. He had, like, a mullet and these clothes that were kind of, like, raggedy. It's the hipster uniform in L.A. I thought it was a bit dated, to be honest, but just imagine someone with, like, a brown mullet, dazed eyes, wearing all black, and his clothes are kind of loose tank tops and tight black jeans, and it was an aesthetic for sure. No judgment. I'm judging his behavior. So that was just like a fun thing. And then there was this guy I danced with, and we were vibing. And then there was this lady who was like doing her belly dancing like moves all night and avoiding eye contact. I kept trying to get eye contact because she was there dancing around me the whole night and say, oh, I like some, you know, compliment her. And maybe that's my fault. I didn't interrupt her, but it was like I could never get her eye contact so that I could say something. But if you're out there, you're a really good belly dancer. So we went to a day party. A house party after. This is a long episode, you guys. I'm just going to ramble. We went to house party in Silver Lake, and I ate jambalaya, and I talked all night, and met so many creative people. Like, everyone was super creative. Everyone was super cool. I met a few scientists, because Yowande knows some scientists, and it was great. I was there till 1 in the morning. We did karaoke. There was so many awesome people. I only kind of know them by their Instagram name, There was Mama Bear from Dub Lab. She was really cool. She's working with Yawande on a podcast. And it's, I'm super happy, but a little jealous. Like, it's a podcast where she'll speak about science and then include music, which is perfect for her and perfect for anyone who'd want to listen to something dope like that. So I'll keep you guys updated if and when that is released, because that's an amazing project, and she's just perfect for it. Yawande's brilliant and funny and cool, and yeah, she's awesome. And I met someone named Bradley. He said he was going to sign up for and subscribe to the podcast. So, hey, Brad. Hey, you were fun to talk to all night. And remember the British guy? There were so many British guys, but that crazy British guy, man, like, you never knew what was going to come out of his mouth or what he was going to say. And he kept saying, "Wow, you have a really high voice." And I was like, "True, that is true. I do." And then he'd say it again, "Wow, you have a really high voice." And I would say, "You're right, I do." Like, I didn't know what else was. I mean, this is the voice I walked into the party with. This is just my voice. And he didn't say it as in, like, "Hey, I like it." He didn't say, like, "I don't like it." So I didn't say thank you or anything. I was just like, "Yes, this is my voice." And after all that, I was supposed to go to another day party. I was like, "Yes, this is going to be a party weekend." But after 1:30, I was like, "All right, I'm good. I'm going to go back to my Airbnb and just be by myself," because that was enough interactions all day. And it was great. I just slept in. I'm lying. I worked on my projects, and but slowly took my time. And then I decided to go home early so that I could, like, binge watch my favorite TV shows before I went back to work. And I did, and my daughter had made me cupcakes. So it was awesome. So that was pretty much my birthday weekend. Also, I had a dream photo shoot in April, and I'm still getting some of the prints back. And I dropped one on my birthday because Lars, the photographer, he's so dope. He was able to get me another print ready for my birthday. So it was pretty saucy. It was me in lingerie, which was, you know, a dream of mine to do boudoir. So when I saw it, I felt a little like, "Oh my gosh, look at me looking like myself in all my, like, normal glory, soft, a little chubby, stylish, you know." I gotta be positive. It was interesting. So if you guys want to see that, that's in my stories under Being Glam on Science Stuff with Steph on Instagram. So that was pretty much my birthday. I keep saying, am I saying that right? Yes, I am. So I talked about that. Also, I announced that I had a huge honor, you guys. I was invited to be a speaker on a panel at the Science Writers Convention in Washington, D.C., you guys. That's so amazing. Just little old me started a podcast. I'm just a regular person who likes science and interviewing people. You guys, you've heard my show. You know what I do. And I guess they thought I was awesome, too. So I will be speaking at the event on a panel called Live Interviewing, Science Up Close and Personal. It'll be on October 13th, and I have fellow panelists. I have Chris Duffy. He's a stand-up comedian, television writer, radio and podcast host, and he does this really cool thing where he is like, "What's my line?" It's this thing, it's this game where he has stand-up comics, and they have to guess what specialty the scientist works in based on hints that the scientist gives. So it's really an entertaining, fun way to learn more about a science subject, and then he interviews the scientist. I thought it was brilliant. I love it. His name is Chris Duffy. And then my other co-panelist, her name is Kirsten Sanford, or Dr. Kiki. She's a science communicator, and she also has a podcast as well. and a production company called Broader Impact Productions. I was invited to be on the panel by moderators Brian Mallow. He's a science comedian, performer, producer, and interviewer, and he's interviewed like Nobel Prize winners, and he knows Neil deGrasse Tyson. Neil deGrasse Tyson gave him a shout out on Twitter. He retold one of Brian's jokes. I'm super inspired by him because I want to include more comedy into my life. I have a secret, you guys. I write stand-up comedy, but I haven't, like, shared it with anyone, but I'm going to. And once I have my Patreon, you guys can listen to it, the special people, because you guys will be special. You're already special. You're pretty special that you listen to me. That makes you pretty exclusive and high-minded, right? And the other moderator is Michael Newman. He's a senior communications officer at the National Institute of Standards and Technology, short for NIST. Now, when they invited me, I got this email from Michael and from the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And I, to be honest, had never heard of the institute. So I was blown away. Like, me? You guys want me? How do you even know about me? And I Googled everything about them to see if it was a scam or are they phishing in this email? But no, you guys, they like my interview style. On the panel, we'll be discussing tips and advice for how to interview people in a live format. So I guess I do that. That's what the podcast does. So it works. Let me share a little bit more about that institute. So NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, was founded in 1901 and is now part of the U.S. Department of Commerce. NIST is one of the nation's oldest physical science laboratories. Congress established the agency to remove a major challenge to U.S. industrial competitiveness at the time, a second-rate measurement infrastructure that lagged behind the capabilities of the United Kingdom, Germany, and other economic rivals at that time. So this is like, what, the Industrial Revolution time? Yeah, that makes sense. From the smart electric power grid and electronic health records to atomic clocks, advanced nanomaterials, computer chips, and innumerable products and services rely in some way on technology, measurement, and standards provided by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Today, NIST measurements support the smallest of technologies to the largest and most complex of human-made creations. From nanoscale devices, so tiny that tens of thousands can fit on the end of a single human hair, up to earthquake-resistant skyscrapers and global communication networks. Wow. They sound pretty important, and I'm super honored that they have organized this science writers convention and that they wanted me to be a part of it. So I'll keep you guys updated as that date gets closer. It'll be, I fly out October 11th, and I'll be in Washington, D.C. for 5 days. So I'll be sightseeing. I'll be setting up interviews with scientists while I'm there, possibly do a meetup. I'm going to be living my best life, and I will share it with you guys and film as much as I can and record while I'm there. So, yeah, super excited, so excited, and it's one of the best things that ever happened to me. So thank you, Michael Newman and Brian Mallow, for thinking of me and whoever suggested you, because I'm still like, how did you find me? I'm just so curious. What else did I want to talk about? Oh, yes. So I have a new episode coming up, you guys. It features Rebecca Coffey. She will be on the next episode of the Dope Science Show podcast, and she wrote a book called Science and Lust. So here's a little bit of that the book covers, just to give you guys a little of what to expect. Headlines suggest humans have become a mindlessly lust-driven race. Have we always been that way? And if so, can intelligence and culture ever save us? these are the questions that Science and Lust, written by Rebecca Kofi, answers. To answer such questions, Science and Lust, a new entertaining and envelope-pushing popular science book, takes the lens of evolutionary psychology to the Me Too movement and a host of other current mating and madness issues. And 12 and fun-packed essays by science journalist and humorist Rebecca Kofi. She's written in Scientific American, Discover, Psychology Today, as well as various other scientific publications, and also on the Vermont Public Radio, among other appearances. The most recent essay, The Human Ape, examines why even good guys sometimes act like apes. And we talk about bonobos. I haven't mentioned bonobos a lot, but it is like my new secret obsession. And I want to give you guys a little bit of background about why bonobos are super cool. I'm looking this up right now on Wikipedia. I will put the link in the show notes for you guys. So the bonobo, formerly called the pygmy chimpanzee, and less often the dwarf or gracile chimpanzee, is an endangered great ape and one of the two species making up the genus Pan. The other is the common chimpanzee. So there are two species in the genus Pan. Sorry, I don't know how to say that. Genus Pan. There's the bonobo and the common chimpanzee. But bonobos are different than chimpanzees. Chimpanzees are live in a patriarchy where the male chimps pretty much rule the society. But bonobos live in a matriarchy. An analysis of female bonding among wild bonobos stresses female sexuality and shows how female bonobos spend much more time in heat or estrus than female chimpanzees, which is interesting. So what makes me obsessed about them is their behavior. So I love bonobos because bonobos are very social. Most studies indicate that females have a higher social status in bonobo society. Aggressive encounters between males and females are rare, and males are tolerant of infants and juveniles. A male derives his status from the status of his mother. The mother-son bond often stays strong and continues throughout life. While social hierarchies do exist, and although the son of a high-ranking female may outrank a lower female, rank plays a less prominent role than in other primate societies. So, in summary, the women are in charge. They have strong relationships with their sons, and they get along well with the men or the male bonobos. And hierarchy is not so much emphasized in this society as it is in other ape societies. Because of the promiscuous mating behavior of female bonobos, a male cannot be sure which offspring is his. As a result, the entirety of parental care in bonobos is assumed by the mothers. So because the male bonobos can't really determine which offspring are his because the female bonobos are promiscuous. All the women do all the mothering. Okay. So the interesting part, sexual activity generally plays a major role in bonobo society. So the reason why I love bonobos is because I love talking about sex, and I think their sex life is so interesting because it's similar to us, but us humans, but a lot freer, and I like that. I like freedom. So, sexual activity generally plays a major role in bonobo society, being used as what some scientists perceive as a greeting, a means of forming social bonds, a means of conflict resolution, and post-conflict reconciliation. You get it. Hey, I like you. Let's kiss. Hey, let's be friends. Let's kiss. Hey, we got into a fight. Let's kiss and make up. All right, we made up. Now what? Let's do some more kissing. Bonobos are the only non-human animal to have been observed engaging in tongue kissing. Bonobos and humans are the only primates to typically engage in face-to-face genital sex. So, think missionary style, you guys. Although a pair of Western gorillas has been photographed also in this position. Good for them. Bonobos do not form permanent monogamous sexual relationships. They are polyamorous. So, they love everyone. They also do not seem to discriminate in their sexual behavior by sex or age, with the possible exception of abstaining from sexual activity between mothers and their adult sons. When bonobos come upon a new food source or feeding ground, the increased excitement will usually lead to communal sexual activity, presumably decreasing tension and encouraging peaceful feeding. So basically, when they find a bunch of food, they get so excited and then they have an orgy and then everyone shares the food instead of fighting and hoarding it. They become much more generous and less selfish. That makes sense, right? Because after sex, don't you have these like feel-good hormones and everyone's in a much better mood, or they're supposed to be? So, kind of makes sense. This quality is also described by Dr. Susan Block as the bonobo way in her book of the same title, The Bonobo Way, The Evolution of Peace Through Pleasure. That sounds like something I need to read. I'm going to say that again. The Bonobo Way, The Evolution of Peace Through Pleasure. I can go on and on, but you guys can check out all the details, all the dirty details. It's not dirty, it's natural, it's natural. All the details on the Wikipedia link that I'm going to leave you guys. What else did I want to talk about? Oh, okay, I know it's going long, but I have a new project, you guys, and I'm really excited to work on. It was inspired by my trip in Chicago. When I was in Chicago, I was talking to Hannibal Buress, the amazing stand-up comedian, actor, angel investor, just an all-around awesome person as well, and he's just so loving. So he was telling me that he was excited about a project that he invested in, or a startup. It's called the Bonty app. I will put it in the show notes as well. Maybe you guys can sign up under my name so I can get $5. You know, it's one of those referral things. But basically what the app does is you put in your zip code and then you find a hairstylist in your area. And the target demographic are black people, black women, or just black people in America. Because a lot of times, depending on where you live, it's hard to find a barber. It's hard to find a hairstylist who knows how to work with black hair. And so this is really something I'm excited about as well. So I said, hey, you're excited about it. I'm excited about it. Let's get the startup founders on my show. But let's do something a little bit more. I want to make this a series. I'm going to call this series Black Hair Unwrapped. And the title is Black Hair Unwrapped, Black Hair Stories, Science, and Technology. And basically, I plan to interview scientists who specialize in hair and skin care, and ideally in black hair and skin care. And I will have them on the show, and then I will have a collection of stories that I've sourced from you and your friends and the rest of the world who know black women, who are black women, or they have a hair story, and they don't have to be a woman. You could be anything that you identify as, but ideally you're black, so that we have these stories for black people, because I haven't heard these stories before. So the stories that I'm looking for are, I want to hear a time that you got your hair done and you felt bomb, you felt beautiful, you felt fly, you felt like you were on top of the world, and this is it, you've reached it, this is great, look at my hair. So, you know, I want to hear that story. I want to know what your hair looked like. I want to hear all the details. And I want to hear about a time your hair got messed up. You know, you went to the hair salon and they did your hair horribly. Or your mom did your hair and she burnt your ear with the hot comb. Or they put perm in your hair and your scalp got blisters. I mean, I want to hear these stories as well. So go to blackhairunwrapped.com. Submit your story. Tell a friend. I am sourcing these stories, and I'm really excited about it. If it goes really well, I might make it like a continuous series. And then I end the series with interviewing the Bonte app founders. So that's what I'm working on, you guys. And I thank you guys so much for listening. I thank you guys so much for always supporting me and being patient with me. And I'm just excited to continue to grow and share this journey with you. I do plan to, I keep saying it, but I really am going to launch a Patreon ASAP so that I can create better content, more consistent content for you, and do some amazing projects. I have so many ideas that I really want to work on and grow this into, you know, a production company. That's really my long-term goal. And your dollars, $1 a month, you know, just simple things will help a lot. So the next time you guys will hear from me will be on the next episode where I interview Rebecca Coffey, and we'll be talking about her book, Science and Lust. It was great. It was fun. I love you guys, and I hope you guys feel really good about yourself and you have a good day too. Peace.